Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews on the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a world of peace, health, egalitarianism, and sustainability. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, nor its management. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Tuesday and Andrew Gotti via Skype in Lisburn, Northern Ireland. This is part two of their interview. To hear part one, which was broadcast last week, please visit the archives of Vegan Nation at vegansradio.wordpress.com. We're continuing our conversation with their activism with Expose NI, Expose Northern Ireland. And then we'll hear some information on the Abolition Amendment in the USA, a proposed amendment to the US Constitution, followed by awesome vegan music. Here's part two of the interview with Sophia and Andrew Gotti.
But I personally don't think there's anything militant or extreme in compassion. There is no wishy-washy area there. You're either compassionate or you're an animal abuser. And I don't want to be an animal abuser.
Well, as Olive said, being vegan is the least that we can do. It just means you're no longer participating in, you know, needless violence. But I kind of felt compelled to make up for the 30-odd years that I did participate. Yeah. I didn't really ever think about it, I say, until I watched that Earthlings documentary that made me go vegan immediately. Thankfully, I got involved in vegan groups, and I kept the fire in my heart burning. You know, as Joey Carbstrong would say himself, it's good to have a supporting team and community around you to keep you going through the hardship and the social ostracization in a way, and the non-acceptance of your fundamental ethics. Activists need support.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. And your work is life-changing and, again, a world revolution into this new paradigm, a vegan paradigm on Earth, which is compassion, nonviolence, and non-discrimination. You are so brave. And I'd like to take this a step further because I'm a student of deep veganism, and that I think a lot of people don't understand this, that they just think of veganism as a diet, where, as you know, that's not it. It's about non-slavery, again, non-violence, non-discrimination, and compassion. And compassion is empathy and action. It has to be action for compassion to exist. And that in deep veganism, we understand that life is a game of boomerangs. As we sow, we reap. And so your work in liberating the non-human animals is actually, in reality, liberating humans as well. And as we can see in 2021, humans are now oppressed, enslaved, and exploited by powers that shouldn't be. And it's only going to get worse, in my opinion, unless we co-create a vegan planet. And you are very powerful and important in manifesting that. So I want to again thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Tuesday. And thank you, Olive and Arabella Eden as well. Could you please give us some additional messages that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yes, I'm sure we all have plenty to say. You know, we live and breathe this sort of thing constantly in our every waking thought, and how could it not be? You live in a world where animal products are shoved down your throat, whether you eat them or you see advertisements everywhere you go. Bloody McDonald's drive-throughs are still absolutely packed, ram-packed, even though, you know, we're going through a pandemic that animal agriculture caused. So I like what you're saying there, deep veganism. You know, it's trying to challenge the accepted plateau, the normal plateau that we all start off on. This is normal violence that is to be accepted, never questioned, never brought up in school. It's not part of ethical discussion, you know. So we want to challenge that. And I think by doing that, you should set children off on a better footing, that, you know, arbitrary discrimination against other sentient beings that don't look the same as you a little bit should not be discarded and oppressed simply for that reason. You know, when we know we don't need to eat them to survive or wear them or test on them.
I'll keep mine short. I just my only message would be the truth and compassion mean absolutely everything. And I want the media with their advertisements to be truthful, the farmers to be truthful about exactly what goes on, stop perpetuating the myth that there's humane slaughter and happy lives of these slaves, because it's not true. And I just want people to be more compassionate, and to do so quickly, because our planet is dying and animals are dying every day, and that's not the world I want my daughter growing up in. I want a better planet for everybody.
You got anything to say, Olive? No, I don't think so. Arabella was about to say something, but then Olive picked her up for us. kept her quiet. She's currently sucking on her thumb. She's got a teething thumbs. She needs to chew on something. No?
Thank you. And what contact information can you leave with our listeners, and how can our listeners learn more about you?
They can follow Expose NI on Facebook and Instagram, where we put out periodically just stills and videos of the things that we found, and we also followed up with the factual information of the places. So if people could share and follow that, that would be fantastic.
There's another one as well, Tuesday mentioned. You know, I mean, the animal exploitation goes on in many different forms, for food, for clothing. So Direct Action Everywhere, a worldwide organization. We've set up a chapter here, Direct Action Everywhere Belfast, and we were focusing specifically on anti-fur campaigning. Unfortunately, there's places here that are still selling real fur. So you can follow some of the work there that we've been. I was kind of helping a bit with some speak outs. That's another way to contact our efforts and to join us if you wish to protest animal use in all of its forms.
We're listening to Andrew Gotti and Tuesday Sophia Gotti and team member Olive of Expose NI. They're joining us via Skype from Lisburn, Northern Ireland. And we also hear the beautiful voice of ARA, animal rights activist, Arabella Eden, their 15-week-old daughter. And Tuesday, I also want to say that I was really happy to see the picture of Connor, the piglet that you rescued last year. And so that's really encouraging. Thank you. I know that was Meet the Victims, your organization, Meet the Victims, First Legal Liberation. And could you please talk more about what activists such as you and your teammates, including your organization Expose NI, experience as a result of exposing the truth to the public of the animal exploitation industries and what's happening to you and your family personally?
Marlene, you'd asked us a question, how do we anticipate that things will go for us in court whenever we're charged for these crimes that we've committed? I use little quotations for that. We honestly don't know. We are on a par with Sweden in terms of our legal system and how people are treated for these sorts of activities. And in recent events, the Swedish activists were given 3 months in prison. Now, we have a thing called the Good Friday Agreement, which came about in our troubles, meaning that we only serve half of any sentence that we're given in Northern Ireland. So if we were given 3 months, we'd obviously do 6 weeks. We don't know how that's going to pan out, because Andrew and me are obviously, we're parents to a very young baby. So the courts might see that it's better to punish us some other way, community service or a large fine, rather than take us away from our baby. Or they could actually make an example of us. They are treating, in America, they're treating their activists, I don't know whether it's making an example out of them or because they're classed as terrorists, but a couple of our friends are facing 10 years in prison for similar crimes to what we've committed. And again, the only crime that we've committed is compassion. There's no crime committed. But then again, in Australia, Leah Dollinger, a friend of mine and the founder of Meet the Victims, she has been charged 22 times, I believe, at the last count. And she has never gone to prison. She was actually given a very lenient sentence in a recent court case where she was fined, I think, $1,000 Australian, and the judge actually commended her for her actions and said she was clearly a very compassionate and brave woman. And while she can't condone illegal activity, she didn't believe it would be right to give her a heavy sentence because she was acting from a place of compassion. Now, obviously, we don't want to go to prison because the thought of being away from our baby is unbearable. And people could say, well, you should have thought about that before you did what you did, but we've already explained why we do what we do. But we do want to be arrested, and we do want this to go to court, because by doing that, we can have a protest outside the court. We can petition local politicians to fight to make changes, because they're the ones that can do it. We can get the footage, we can save the lives. We can't actually stand in those Houses of Parliament making those changes. We can't stand in Stormont doing that. They can. So we do want to do it, even though it'll be terrifying, it'll be anxious and all the rest. But we're not stuck in firing crates and cages being used and abused. We are humans with rights, and we are going to use them to fight for the oppressed.
Mm-hmm. There's also your friend and fellow animal rights activist Amy Serrano in Canada, who's facing a court case on Tuesday.
Yep, she's back in court on the 2nd of February. Due to COVID, things have been put back, and due to, like, I think I'm not sure what the ins and outs are, but other evidence, and you know how courts work, it's been put back. And she's facing prison time, and again, her only crime was compassion. So she will be treated a lot more harshly than what a lot of other activists in other countries have been. Mm. We don't know how we'll be treated.
Well, you know, I mean, the island of Ireland are considered to be very compassionate people, you know, having suffered oppression, human oppression for a long time. And, you know, every country says, oh, we're a nation of animal lovers, and we're just going to see if that's actually true across the board. So we're hoping, you know, that people will put their actions in line with their supposed espoused ethics. It's yet to be seen. Hoping there's a couple of angles that we can protest the law that has, you know, exploitation of animals legal. One of them would be obviously animal rights. No sentient being should be incarcerated for no crime and sentenced on death row when it's agreed that all mammals and some invertebrates are indeed sentient. So there is that case to be made. Then, of course, there is the ecocide, the destruction of our environment. I know that some people have made headway in America in that regard. Certainly, the young generations are fighting against the government there now, thankfully. Then, of course, you have pandemics, and 3 out of 4 of those being zoonotic, including COVID-19. So we'd expect the government to act upon that and stop it at the source by ending animal agriculture in all of its forms. I think I mentioned earlier that, you know, there's a serious threat of African swine flu or swine flus or bird flus in general becoming much more contagious and also zoonotic, and that would be probably more severe than COVID. You have the antibiotic resistance growing. So yeah, all of those reasons we're hoping we can put forward in our favour and in the animals' favour. Also, any communities that have the misfortune of having an animal factory put beside them actually do suffer ill health. It was in the documentary "What the Health," I believe, where, you know, people of colour in particular were suffering with asthma.
You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue more with Tuesday and Andrew Gratty. In Lisburn, Northern Ireland, anti-speciesist animal rights activists exposing the truth behind animal use in Northern Ireland.
Hi, this is Bruce. You're listening to WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM Community Radio, serving Central Massachusetts, online at wcuw.org.
Welcome back from the break. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Much thanks to all the vegan educators and activists for your powerful, important work to end violence, misogyny, oppression, exploitation, and discrimination. We're joined by Tuesday Gotti and her husband Andrew Gotti via Skype in Lisburn, Northern Ireland. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. Here's a little musical interlude with Everything Comes Around by vegan singer-songwriter Ellie Sarti, who's the founder and director of Compassion Arts. Nanina, Massachusetts, wishing you a good day.
Behind a steel door, behind the concrete and barbed wire, sentenced to darkness, sentenced to living death, the warehouse merchandise. Living commodities, tethered to grating and the harvest. There are truths that can't be broken. Yes, everything comes around. Everything comes around. Everything comes around. Everything comes around.
As vegan AR activists, Tuesday Sophia, Andrew, and their colleague, comrade, Olive, in Northern Ireland. Much thanks to you all.
You're very welcome. Thank you for your support.
Thanks again, Marlene.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice to hear from you. And you've been following your work. You're interviewing some very brave people on your show, and so many different ways that we can explore cruelty-free lifestyle.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Thank you very much. And best wishes to you, keeping you in my heart, our heart, and keeping the faith.
Thank you. Thanks, Marlene.
Thank you. And what's going to, like, what can happen? I mean, if you get a, are you, am I correct in hearing you that it's not if, it's when you get arrested?
We will be arrested. My solicitor, basically, we're on par with the act, with the laws in Sweden, and the recent activists who did similar to what we have done got 3 months in prison. But because we have the Good Friday Agreement here, because of our troubles, we only do half of what we get sentenced, so we would only do 6 weeks in prison. But my solicitor has said they will come out and arrest us. They can't hold us for any longer than 36 hours, and then they'll have to release us, because this is all on hearsay, unless they can actually find evidence of what we're saying is true. And then they would have to open up another investigation.
The hearsay is basically what we've admitted to doing, but we never got caught. You know, we just said we did this and we wanted to come forward to say this is the right thing to do because the laws are unjust.
Yeah.
And am I correct in hearing you that the arrest could happen any minute of any day now?
Yeah, we've been waiting on it all day. The parcel delivery guy knocked the door earlier and those two jumped out of the kitchen and I ran downstairs. Nobody moves. Nobody answer the door. I'll answer it.
Okay. Okay, now...
So, yeah, we're just waiting.
If you know, court proceedings are levied against us, then I will set up another petition, I guess, you know, for to extend the right to rescue from California to maybe Northern Ireland, you know, and to support us in that fight. I haven't actually done that exclusively yet.
Okay.
Yeah, my petition was to shut down the pig farm that we occupied last year. We got like close to 10,000. We got nearly 8,000 signatures. Mm-hmm. Need 100,000 signatures before the UK Parliament or government will take it up as a serious issue. So we're nowhere near that.
Okay. Let me add one more question in here, because Tuesday I mentioned earlier the footage that I saw that you did. Can I ask you a question and can you answer it with what direct link someone can go to see that footage of you with the Meet the Victims at the pig farm?
Yep.
And I really think that people need to see, like you say, your form of activism is so that people can actually see what's going on.
Yes, the best place for that would be under a well-known activist, Casper Hilt, animal rights activist, he's known as, on Facebook and Instagram. We have a Meet the Victims page, and it's also on my own public Facebook, whereas Casper Hilt has pretty much everything documented there, including his own little short video that he made about the action. So they're probably better going there.
That's Hilt, spelled H-I-L-T.
Okay, and what is the name of that particular footage so someone could find it easily? Does it have a title?
It's Meet the Victims Northern Ireland 1.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You find that on YouTube.
Yeah, or just his Facebook. Or whatever.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And again, Olive, too, thank you for joining us. Much gratitude to the activists of Expose NI, anti-speciesist animal rights activists exposing the truth behind animal use in Northern Ireland. We've been joined by Tuesday Gotti and Andrew Gotti, and also Olive, and Tuesday and Andrew's 15-week-old daughter, Arabella Eden. They joined us from Lisburn, Northern Ireland. They also joined us last week, and you can hear their interview in the archives at vegansradio.wordpress.com. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. Now, after this short break, we'll be hearing details about the Abolition Amendment in the United States, a proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution to abolish slavery.
Hi, this is Sunta Africa.
And this is Velikete.
And you are tuned in to WCUW 91.3 FM Community Radio in Worcester, Massachusetts.
And worldwide, WCUW.org.
Like different kinds of music? Like to know more about it? Tune into Season Stems with Rick Hendra every Saturday morning from 6 till 9 a.m. Music for the mind and body.
So the Abolition Amendment is a proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And it is an amendment that is designed to abolish the property status of other animals, so end the slavery of other animals. And upon its ratification, the Abolition Amendment will immediately abolish, in abolishing the property status of animals, it will put an immediate end to things like the meat industry, dairy industry, egg, poultry, fish, leather, vivisection, and other violence and cruelty-based industries. So we'll be seeing an end to all those industries immediately upon ratification. Proto-abolition is the term that we use now for the ending of human slavery. So the proto-abolition movement goes back well prior to the Civil War era. One thing that's very interesting in the parallels would be that both the human slavery cause and now the ending of all slavery cause were both resisted. They look in retrospect as being irresistible, and I certainly believe them to be irresistible. But at that time, of course, the people in power in the 1800s, as the human slavery abolition movement got rolling, there was a good deal of resistance, of course, to that, and it gets manifested in things like the Fugitive Slave Act. These days, we have the same kind of thing happening with things like the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act and the ag gag laws that have been passed on the state level. The ag gag, of course, is kind of a catch-all term for state legislation that has been being used to try to prevent whistleblowers, undercover operations, and so on from exposing the abuses and so on that go on in the animal exploitation industries. There's always, in the case of a social justice movement, there's always going to be a bunch of resistance by the people in power initially. And that resistance can, of course, escalate a whole lot, as we saw in the Civil War era. So here's the Abolition Amendment, Section 1. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude of any animal shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. So you see that we use that phrase, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, that now dates over 200 years back in the American legal system. And by doing so, there's a couple of kind of strategic value points there for reusing that language. The first is that it makes the meaning and the intent very clear as to what we're doing. For instance, the interpretation of slavery and involuntary servitude being used with respect to people, with respect to human beings rather, is the exact same intent and meaning that we are then extending beyond the species barrier so that we can apply that directly to other animals as well. So by reusing that language, we can pick up on exactly that same meaning. Secondly, we tap into all the jurisprudence, the interpretation that has gone into that phrase in these intervening decades and centuries. So by going that route, it gives the Abolition Amendment a lot more kind of strength and ties directly into the movement of which the 13th Amendment was a step and the Abolition Amendment is now the next step. So that's kind of Section 1. Another thing that I would point out about Section 1, of course, is that in the both the passage that I read from the Northwest Ordinance and also in the 1865 13th Amendment, both of those make an exception regarding human slavery for people who've been convicted of a crime. So that exception is actually still in there, and people are starting to kind of rediscover it, that this exception is still existing both at the federal and the state level, and it is relevant, that exception, because without that exception, there'd be a huge argument that for-profit prisons and the use of prison labor and so on, private prisons, that those are violative of the rule against slavery. But again, because of this exception in the 13th Amendment, that argument is not readily available. So you'll notice that in the Abolition Amendment, the one that has been just recently published now, that exception for slavery and involuntary servitude as a form of punishment or as part of one's punishment is no longer there. So in other words, humans and human rights activists and people who oppose the for-profit prison system and so on have a separate or a related but also distinct reason to support the Abolition Amendment, because it gets rid of that exception.
We're listening to Shel Harrison, the primary author and editor of the Abolition Amendment, which was published on December 6th, 2016. He has a general disclaimer. This radio station, programs, and management do not condone illegal activity. We are a platform for free speech. Thank goodness for free speech. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Miley Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. And I'd like to thank all the listeners for tuning in. Let's go out with another song from Will Tuttle's album, Animal Songs. This is Mylene wishing you a good day.